We have a slight change in direction this morning. It was my intention and plan to go forward in our study and move to Revelation 20, where we learn of Satan being bound. But as I began to put together the introduction for the sermon on Revelation 20, the introduction became a sermon. So we are going to turn our attention this morning instead to 1 Peter chapter 5, if you would please. 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'd like to skip down to about halfway through the fifth verse and pick up with that quote that we have there. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he'll devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here we see Peter telling us to be vigilant and alert, because our adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he'll devour. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the devil goes about prowling like a roaring lion, seeking whom he'll devour? Do you think of yourselves as a lost, lonely sheep in the wilderness, in the woods, who is vulnerable, exposed? Because that's what Peter is telling us here. He is bringing us the Word of God to warn us of just such thing as you move through your day. Do you think to yourself, I must remain sober and alert here because my enemy, the devil, is prowling like a roaring lion seeking to destroy and devour my soul? That's what Peter is telling us here. Peter is referring to a creature here that is a master of its habitat. A creature that is fierce and ought to be feared. It is a fearful creature, a powerful creature. He is talking about a creature that is skilled in killing and destroying and devouring. A creature that can identify a weakness in a prey and exploit that weakness as it's running at full tilt without even having to give it much thought. The devil is skilled in his tactics and his warfare and his techniques. He's been practicing at it for some 6,000 years now. This creature is not a house cat whose worst damage is that he messes up the back of your couch as he uses it for a scratching post. This is a creature that kills for sport. This is a creature that will take one or two mouthfuls and then yawn at its kill, leaving the carcass to be ravaged by whatever happens to come along after it, because it kills for sport. It has a bloodlust. This is our enemy, dear ones. Be sober and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is not a beast on a leash. He is a violent creature. He does not wound in order to help like a surgeon or a friend. He devours because that's his nature. His nature is to devour and to destroy, and nothing else. There is nothing good or benign in this being. But notice, he seeks whom he may devour. That is to say, he cannot devour everyone. Who does he not devour? He does not devour the sober-minded, vigilant watcher. He devours the one who is essentially drunk in his senses. And so Peter says, be sober. The one who is drunk in their senses is the one who has lulled themselves into a sense of complacency. That this world is a pretty good place. I like it here. I'm enjoying its pleasures. I feel quite comfortable and content here. The one who has become a lover of pleasure rather than a lover of God. The one who loves comforts and does not see deprivation as a thing to be sought after. The one who never says no to a desire or a lust. The one that says, surely God doesn't care if I break this commandment just a little bit, because after all, He must know how awfully hard it is to obey all these commandments. There's so many. There's 10. And for me to obey it would cause me some temporary personal discomfort. Ouch! This person is easy prey then to the enemy of men's souls. While the watcher, on the other hand, is not so easily taken. For one thing, the watcher is beseeching the Lord of heaven for help all the time, knowing that protection comes from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that there is this evil being on the prowl like a roaring lion. The vigilant watchman knows his own areas of weakness. He knows himself. He knows how he is inclined in this way or in that way. And so, because of that, he makes no provision for the flesh. He doesn't go anywhere near those areas where he knows he is prone and inclined to fail. He knows the things that tend to lead him into sin. And so he keeps to the open ground that is much more easily defended. He stays away from the dark, foreboding areas where danger lurks and can easily catch him unawares. He especially does not go into forbidden territory because he knows that's where Satan's domain is. Forbidden territory is any place that violates a commandment of God. What about you, dear ones? Is there an area where God says in His Word, thou shalt not, and you have gone or are going anyway? You have given yourself right into Satan's hands. Make no mistake. Don't look at it in any other terms and in any other way. You have given yourself into Satan's hands. It is forbidden territory, and be sure that Satan lies in wait there. If you knew that there was a man-eating lion in some wood, how likely would you be to walk through there? Would you not make every effort to stay far away from it? And if you had to go through it, you would only go through it with the greatest degree of preparation and precaution. What would you think of the person who heedlessly goes through that area without any preparation, without any thought, and then comes to be devoured by that lion? You would think, you dummy, why did you do that? There was a warning sign right here. Woe to those who enter here. This is bad. Have you ignored the clear expression of the mind of God and His commandments and walked into forbidden territory? Our enemy is both malicious and subtle. He is filled with hate and he is very crafty. Satan is the accuser. It's what his name means. He is a defamer and a calumniator. That is, he is one who slanders and libels and accuses and maligns in men's minds other men. He is the one that fills your minds with bad thoughts, dark thoughts of other people. And so we must always be on guard against this very thing. Censorious thoughts of others, especially members of our own family, especially members of our own congregation with whom we have to deal with most regularly and frequently. This accuser accuses God to men and men to God. He will tempt you to have hard thoughts towards God and say, oh, his providence is so painful. Surely he is not a good God. Surely he has been unfair to you and mistreated you. Keep in mind, dear ones, that although Satan is the enemy of mankind in general, he is the enemy of the seed of the woman in particular. The seed of the woman being the church. The blood-bought ones of Christ. And since Satan cannot directly attack Christ, what does he do? But turns his vitriol toward the mystical body of Christ, the church, the seed of the woman. And so the apostle warns us, be sober and alert, because our enemy, the devil, prowls about. He is our enemy. He is a personal enemy. He is not just an enemy in the general sense that, well, we know he's out there somewhere. No, dear ones, he's your enemy and my enemy. And he has at his disposal a third of the heavenly host that fell with him to help him. There is never a time when Satan is not opposed to us as long as we are in these mortal bodies on this earth. It calls for tremendous diligence in being alert and sober. He is on the prowl, which tells us that he does not wait for us to come to him. But he goes prowling about, which tells us that he is actively looking for us. He is actively seeking those whom he will devour. He knows our thoughts. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our propensities. He has access to you everywhere. And he keeps himself very well informed of your circumstances, so that he stands always ready to take vile advantage of them, even to where he takes your good intention and your good motivation and turns it to a devious outcome. You're never safe, dear ones. You must never think that there is a safe place. This is not a safe place. Satan can come here and tempt here. Many churches are the center of Satan's corrupting influence. And I am reminded week after week after week by Pastor Brett's faithful prayers that I can succumb to wickedness. He never pulls punches, does he, dear ones, when he prays for me? But he assumes that I am inclined towards sin like every other man. And he prays for me accordingly. Only God can know more and do more than the devil. And so we must be continuously beseeching the Lord of heaven to keep us in the narrow way. He prowls about like a roaring lion. In this way, the apostle calls attention to the fact that not only does the devil prowl in a stealthy way and lay in wait to ambush the unsuspecting, but in this way, the apostle calls attention to the fact that the devil's efforts are also to alarm us and to overpower us by seizing our minds with thoughts of fear or shame. He roars. And when he roars, and we hear those accusing, condemning thoughts in our minds, they are powerful and intimidating thoughts. And in this way, the devil makes us to become self-absorbed in our human woes. He encourages false teaching and false practice. And in this way, men walk right into his devices. We are told that the righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no one is chasing them, when no one is pursuing them. When we succumb to temptation and we sin against God, we lose that protective device that God gives us called faithfulness. Faith is a grace. When we walk by faith, not by sight, it is a tremendous shield. It is the shield alone which is able to extinguish all the fiery missiles of the evil one. But when we sin, what have we done? But we've set that shield down. And don't think for a minute that those fiery darts of the evil one are not already on their trajectory. And they're well aimed at your heart and mind, dear ones. And boy, do they set it on fire. So once you are moved from scriptural obedience, your life becomes filled with fear and doubt. Adam Clark wrote regarding Satan's temptations, and he said that he would write down three forms that Satan uses to tempt us. He says the serpent is subtle, that he beguiles our senses, that he perverts our judgment and enchants our imagination. And that's where we all once were, to be certain. When we walked according to the desires of our flesh, this is definitely true. But he also masquerades as an angel of light to deceive us with false views of spiritual things. Supposed refinements in religion. As if the Word of God is inadequate, that it's not sufficient for all of our need. As a rule of instruction for life, he teaches us to presume on the providence and the grace of God, that is, to think hard thoughts of God's providence towards us, that this is all wrong, that the way things have worked out, it's all wrong. No, dear ones. It's all right. This is what God has chosen to use in your life and in mine to bring us to salvation and then furthermore to sanctify us. What would happen if God withdrew that sanctifying influence, which may be a hard and painful providence? And then he comes as a roaring lion to bear us down, to destroy us by violent opposition, by persecution and death. And so often he comes acting in this way. Have you seen, dear ones, what's happening in Nigeria right now? It is the most populous nation on the continent of Africa. And it's split pretty close to half and half of Christian and Muslim. But right now the Muslims have declared jihad against the Christians. And since Christmas Day, they've murdered 30 Christians as they've worshipped. Mostly. This is Satan, dear ones. And then the apostle says that the devil goes about seeking whom he may devour, that he cannot devour everyone. He devours those who are not sober-minded, not vigilant. And although being sober here refers to being alert and on guard, there is most certainly a warning here against strong drink. How many here can attest to the wickedness that accompanies strong drink? The state of drunkenness, that is. And have engaged in horrible things under its influence. And it is not only that strong drink is a path to the devil, but it is the devil's path to you. So that you become one whom the devil can easily swallow up. And then I would call your attention to the context in which this verse is set. As we began in that second half of the fifth verse, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that in due time he may lift you up. And then he says, be sober. So in other words, pride is an intoxicant. Pride fills our minds with wicked thoughts and makes us opposed to the very basics of Christianity. To humble ourselves and put others first. Pride disturbs the peace and order of families and churches. But where God grants grace for humble-mindedness, he also grants wisdom, faith, and holiness. These are the things that keep us from being easily swallowed by the devil. When we have humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God, then we are able to cast all our cares on him. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. We are able to cast all our cares on him, our personal cares, our family cares, our cares for the present, our cares for the future, our cares from the past. These are very burdensome and very often sinful as they fill our minds with unbelief and distrust. When they torture us and distract our minds so that we are unfit for the service of God and a holy delighting in him. And so, dear ones, all of this sets us as a backdrop for what we'll be considering next week when we learn, as John says, "And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." The thought of this fills us with a great sense of comfort to know that there is coming a day when this vicious foe is going to be chained completely, though his chain might be a long chain now, so that he is still able to bother us and trouble us, though he is still chained, but not as much as he will be one day. And that's where we'll pick up next week. But in the meantime, dear ones, I would like to leave you with this. Be sober and alert, because our enemy the devil prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he'll devour. There is no match for Satan except the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, cast yourself on him. Remember, he cares for you. Will you please bow your heads with me? Father, we are so very thankful for your word, which is a light to our feet, a lamp to our path, and that we are enabled, Lord, to see far enough ahead to take one more step, that we are able, Lord, by your word, to live our lives knowing how we ought to act and behave, how we ought to live, until you call us home. I pray, Father, that you would keep us in the narrow way, that you would not allow us to be devoured by our ancient enemy. I pray for each one here, Lord, that they would heed this warning carefully, that they would walk closely in Jesus' footsteps, avoiding the snares and the pitfalls that Satan lays for us. In Jesus' name, amen.